Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Have you ever said this, "But I have a right to my privacy, and no one has a right to invade my personal conversations and private actions"? I think probably, ladies and gentlemen, we've all felt that or said that. But in reality, what rights to privacy do we actually have? What does the Constitution really guarantee? And in light of the revelations of massive spying by the NSA and the CIA on average citizens, I think it's critical that we examine this issue. So today we're going to deal with the matter of privacy and the government's need to collect intelligence here on Stand in the Gap Today. So I ask you to call or text your friends to join us for this very timely program as we bring in our constitutional attorney and author, David New, to assist us in examining this critical topic. With that, I welcome you to the program. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'll be joined today by Gary Dahl, and as I said, by David New in just a minute. Before we get into this very, very, very important topic, Gary, I want to ask you for a quick update. On the program yesterday, we talked about the fact that you and some others were going to hold a press conference there in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, regarding a transgender bill that was coming up for a second reading. Gary, tell us what happened last night when you were there, and what was the response?
Well, I'd be happy to do that, Sam. And we put together a press conference on behalf of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, which, of course, is a part of the American Pastors Network, and spoke to the issue. The situation was is that the city of Johnstown, the city council of the city of Johnstown, felt that they needed to have this anti-discrimination bill that, of course, would open up the whole city to requiring same-sex restrooms, gender-neutral restrooms, whatever you want to call it, in schools and places of businesses, and it would even reach into churches. It would also be a bill that would require all the businesses within the city of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, to, when it comes to hiring and firing, to make sure that they do not discriminate against lesbians, gays, transgenders. It was particularly a bill to support protect the transgenders, to be honest with you. Well, we went over there and we conducted a press conference, and the city council meeting took place right after the press conference. Remember, they read the bill the first time last month and it was approved. But last night, when they went to read it, they basically tabled it. And so in reality, we won a victory. Now, there were two bills to be considered. One had to do with the government hiring and firing. They went ahead and proved that anti-discrimination bill. But the one that related to the general public within the city, businesses, schools, churches, whatever the case may be, they tabled it. We believe that that's a victory because they simply said that they want to see what the United States Supreme Court may have to say about this. And we know that the United States Supreme Court perhaps may not really support this type of an anti-discrimination bill. So we feel as though we won a victory, and we give God the praise and the glory for it, Sam.
Well, Gary, we do. We are very thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted Gary to share that just because you're not going to hear that. Well, actually, a lot of the news is carrying some of this across the country. That is a good thing, and we're just wanting to let you know that it does make a difference when you stand up for truth. Mm-hmm. And as pastors, we believe that it is extraordinarily impactful when pastors in particular lead the way and stand up for moral truth, which we really need to do across the board. So we wanted to share that good news as we get into this program. Now, with that, let me shift gears here, men. And let's go back in. Dave New, I want to bring you in here just very quickly on this matter of privacy, because in this segment, I'd like you to establish a foundational principle of the right to privacy. That, you know, this whole issue with the WikiLeaks release that's now demonstrating and showing that the NSA, the CIA, have actually been collecting data, broad-based data collection, through people's iPhones, Facebook, Samsung TVs, and other things. This is really shaking the intelligence community. It's shaking the American people and, frankly, the whole world. And WikiLeaks now comes back and tells us that, well, get ready, because what they have released so far is just only 1% of the material that they have. They have 99% yet to go, which means we have a whole lot that's going to come rolling out of this. So, Dave, let me start with you right off. From a constitutional perspective, the Fourth Amendment generally is where we go, but you may want to cite that. Tell us very clearly, where are and what is the constitutional basis and principle for individual right to privacy?
Well, it basically is something that's fundamental to liberty, period. It's so nice to be with you, by the way. It is very fundamental to our Constitution, and it is very fundamental to liberty. The Fourth Amendment, which has 54 words in it, couldn't be more clear that there is a right to privacy in the sense of the Constitution. This is the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable. Now, it doesn't say absolute, but it does say unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And so if you don't have privacy in your life, you really don't have a life. And that's the whole issue. That's why it's so important that the government cannot come in and treat you like a suspect. And this is the problem with the level of espionage that goes on in this country right now, is that every American effectively is treated as a suspect, and that's why it's wrong.
Well, Dave, I think you raise a good point. So you're saying, you made it clear that the right to privacy, as outlined in our Fourth Amendment, and you use this word, is not absolute, because the word there is for unreasonable searches and seizures. Let's go a little bit further on that. What should be the governing determination of whether or not something is unreasonable? Can you give some definition on that?
The government has to have a valid or legitimate reason to intrude in your private life. There has to be a genuine fact that would cause the government to suspect you of doing something you shouldn't be doing. Such as plotting to commit a terrorist act in the United States, plotting to blow up the Statue of Liberty. So there has to be a basis. In fact, it can't be a matter of whim. It has to be something that the government can put its hands on, and it should go before a judge. But part of the problem is that now the government has what they call NSLs, National Security Letters, that the FBI can use, National Security Letters, and they don't require a judge for the government to intrude in your private affairs. And this is totally unconstitutional and violates the Fourth Amendment, if nothing couldn't. That does.
All right, David. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the matter of privacy and balancing that with the need for government intelligence. And we've laid out here, it's not absolute, but there are some very, very clear things that ought to be included in that protection. We're going to talk more about that in the balance of the program. In the next segment, we're going to go into the issue of the foundational principle for national intelligence. What is legitimate to know? When should it be gotten? And how should that information be collected so as to preserve our privacy? Stay with us. We'll be right back after these announcements.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Up next, Dr. Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From high school dropout and teenage mother to esteemed Vanderbilt University political science and law professor, Carol examines the religious significance of today's most pressing issues and courageously exposes the cultural forces that threaten our cherished values and principles.
Hello, folks. Have you heard the expression, can't never could? A friend of mine's father, seeking to instill a can-do spirit in his children, use this phrase to motivate them to tackle tasks that seemed impossible at the time. Perhaps as a consequence, his children have done well in life. They have taken actions that moved them towards the accomplishment of significant goals. How many of us are sitting on our dreams and visions because of a false belief that we can't do whatever we have in our heart? The father inspired one of his children to take the saying to another level. It evolved into, where there's a Willis, there is a way. We should remember the wisdom of the deceased father and the tweaks of one of his offspring, especially when we are confronted with challenges and visions that seem impossible. Remember, can't never could. Will we limit ourselves by what we see as our own capabilities, or will we trust God? Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The point of this message is to remind you that you will never achieve God's best for your life without stepping out and taking actions that might seem impossible. We should also remember that what we tell our children and our students matter. Can't never could is one of the great, potentially life-changing messages of our times.
Learn more about Dr. Carol Swain at BeThePeopleTV.com, CarolMSwain.net, and on Facebook at Professor Carol M. Swain, Ph.D.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we do want to encourage you to go to our website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, because there you can see the archives of this particular program and listen to others in the other programs that we've done in the past. And if you happen to miss a program, why, you can pick it up there. So we would encourage you to use that on a regular basis. That's www.standinthegapradio.com. Well, we want to continue here with our program and talk about the foundational principles of national intelligence. And, you know, in matters of national intelligence, the need for intelligence on behalf of our leaders is as needful and appropriate as it is for an airline pilot to need and to use radar when flying through the clouds or at night. And so good intelligence is important. But good intelligence is a combination of information and insight or wisdom. Now, while insight is the finished product, information is the raw material. So David knew My question to you is this, because you are an authority in the Constitution. From a constitutional perspective, what is the justification for intelligence gathering by various governmental agencies and the established limitations on data collection or usage by governmental agencies? How would you answer that for us, please, sir?
If you want, you can turn to Article 1, Section 5, and Clause 3, the third full paragraph, gives the authority in the Constitution for the government to engage in intelligence. It says, each house shall keep a journal of its proceedings and from time to time publish the same, excepting such parts as may, in their judgment, require secrecy. Now, of course, that meant that we have what's called House Intelligence Committees, and we have the Senate Intelligence Committees, and they are the successor in interest to what used to be called the Committee of Secret Correspondence. That's what they called them in the early days of the Republic and during the Revolutionary War. They were called Committees of Secret Correspondence, and they basically were the foreshadow of the House Intelligence and Senate Intelligence Committees. Benjamin Franklin was a member of the Committee of Secret Correspondence, and he went to France, and he was our ambassador to France during the Revolutionary War. His business there was to spy for America and also to get the French to join us in the revolution against the British, which he eventually was successful as a result of the Battle of Saratoga. And in this operation that he had in France, he had a secretary by the name of Edward Bancroft. And he was a double agent for the British. And he was Benjamin Franklin's personal secretary. And every time that he wrote a secret letter to the Continental Congress, he made an extra copy for a gentleman by the name of Paul Whitworth, who in turn handed it over to William Eden, who in turn gave it to the King of England, King George III, the goofy guy. And he was reading 6 months at a time of secret correspondence that Benjamin Franklin was writing on the results of the war. So spying and intelligence has been in this country from day one. It's a universal profession, and the one who does it the best sometimes wins the war.
Hmm. David, that's great information and background. So clearly, It's not a wrong thing to have intelligence. You're saying it's a necessary thing from the beginning of time.
Yes.
The collecting of intelligence by government is a critical matter. Gary, we talk in the program about the constitutional and the biblical aspects, and we try to work them together. Let me just ask you briefly, from a biblical perspective and a biblical principle perspective, can you shed any light on precedent in Scripture that would talk about collecting intelligence or those in authority getting information to help them make their decisions as a way of just establishing the moral basis for the need for collecting intelligence?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I suppose that in some cases there's a fine line of distinction as we have laid the foundation for. Intelligence is necessary on the international basis. Intelligence is necessary to find if there are those who want to terrorize or attack or make an effort to destroy the United States of America. And that intelligence normally is focused on foreign governments or foreign entities or those entities who hate the United States of America, whatever the case may be. But, you know, some of these reports that have been coming out recently concern me whenever they tell us that, you know, the intelligence collecting agencies are able to see us through our own television sets. They can listen to us talk. They can pick us up on our iPhones, even when the iPhone is turned off. This is very serious. And I heard a report. Sam and David, that I just heard this morning, that everything that we say and do is collected and recorded somewhere. That is, everything that we say and do on our telephones, et cetera, is collected and recorded somewhere. Now, I think that is a violation of a moral principle, simply because of the fact that intelligence the collecting of data on the individual citizens who, generally speaking, are citizens in good standing of the United States of America is not the rightful duty of the government to perform. You know, here in the United States of America, we supposedly are innocent until proven guilty. And so when you have a government that comes along and is collecting data on everything that we say and maybe even every place that we go, that is a violation of a moral principle. In fact, because of the fact that it's not one of the responsibilities of government as it relates to the individual citizens of any particular country, I even think that it may, Sam and David, violate the principle of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, where we are, where the scripture tells us that we are to mind our own business. I think that that relates not only to individual Christians, but even the government. And they are in reality violating that biblical principle. But one of the things that concerns me beyond that, and then I'll turn it back to you, Sam, is that this spying, and I will use that word, this spying on innocent citizens of the United States of America by our government really lends to the possibility of distorting information and passing on improper judgment to the good citizens of the United States of America. And that should never be done in our country. It's taking away our freedoms. And, you know, having said that, what about the Fourth Amendment? You know, when that Fourth Amendment was written, David and Sam, there was no electronic surveillance available. Warrants needed to be issued before there could be any kind of search. Now, what we're finding today, is it not true that they are intruding into our lives without these warrants? That is illegal, it's unconstitutional, and it's against every moral right, is it not?
Well, I think it is, Gary, and I want to go back now because we've talked on a couple of things. One, we've talked about collecting vast amounts of information without permission, a warrant. We've talked about that. David, you talked at the beginning about when collecting intelligence. You referred to the fact it needed to be specific. We need to know if you got a specific question, you go after that information rather than collecting. You didn't say this, but I'm saying this, rather than collecting vast storehouses of data. And then for with no real reason other than to have it so that you can dig through it at some point in time, raises up two aspects of it. One, the right to do that, and the ability to protect that data when you get it. You know, I was in the General Assembly for some years in Pennsylvania for about 20 years. I was on a committee. We were dealing with some breaches of information, and we had what was called a computer scientist. That was an individual that came to testify, and that's somebody who works with computer or internet security. And he made one astounding statement in that committee test. He said, look, the only secure data is uncollected data. And I thought that was a profound statement. If you have it, if you have data and you're collecting it, you're going to have a problem with a breach of it, and you have a potential with a misuse of it. David, let me go back to you right now and say, all right, what does the individual have? When we talk about privacy, securing our persons and property, does it apply to, and how does it apply to the things that we say in private, to iPhone conversations or what we say in our home? Apply the constitutional provision to those things specifically.
There are several things. The United States, I am sad to say, is going over the speed limit towards a police state. We already have many of the characteristics of a police state. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear and read more about this type of subject, there's an attorney by the name of John Whitehead, and he's the same one that is a good conservative attorney who believes in religious freedom. Go to Rutherford.org, R-U-T-H-E-R-F-O-R-D, Rutherford.org. Go to his newsroom link, and there is a publication that he sends free of charge called Freedom Watch, Freedom Watch. And he talks about the police state, and he gives you all kinds of articles where the government has violated the Constitution like crazy. One of the other things that the government does, when they want to cheat, they a lot of times won't go and get a warrant. They'll get the information and then not use it in a criminal prosecution, but just use the information to further whatever causes they're into.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue of privacy and the need for governmental collected intelligence, both are very, very critically important. But what I'm saying, we've got the balance out of whack. When we come back, we're going to talk, take this a little bit further. We're going to talk about the aspect of this. If information is power, and power is information is power, can it become dictatorial? We'll go there.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. What was an all-nighter on health care became an all-morning session. The House Energy and Commerce Committee debating the GOP plan to replace Obamacare since 10:30 Wednesday morning. Another committee wrapping it up overnight.
The House Ways and Means Committee was able to push it through their committee at 4 o'clock this morning. Here at the White House, they are forging ahead with this plan, trying to pitch it all across the country.
Fox's Blake Berman. On the stump this Saturday will be Vice President Pence, slated to visit Louisville. Emergency crews hoping slower winds will help in the fight against wildfires.
In southwest Kansas, the aftermath of raging wildfires is now miles of scorched farm and ranch land littered with dead cattle.
24 hours later, our house is gone.
As many as 7 people died in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso, Fox News. We report. You decide.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Today, I'm looking ahead to the last full week in July, which this year would be July 23rd through the 29th. That's when we're holding our annual life-changing City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp for high school teens. If you've ever met a young person that attended City on the Hill, they'll tell you just what an impact it had on their life. Well, allow me to read some quotes from past attendees. Said one, "An incredible life-changing experience." Another, "I point to City on the Hill as the pivotal moment in my faith." Here's another one. "It was absolutely amazing. I was not sure what to expect, but it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. Not only did I learn how to better stand for what I believe, but I also made lifelong friendships and grew a lot closer to God as well." And one more, "I have never felt God in such a real way as I did at City on the Hill." Mark your calendars for the last week of July, and if you'd like more information, call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The citizens of America are, from this period, to be considered as actors on a most conspicuous theater, which seems to be designated by Providence for the display of human greatness and felicity. 1783, John Adams.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
On this matter of privacy and governmental intelligence, I think we've made a couple of statements. And, David, I just want to repeat a couple of things I wrote down and just get your confirmation on it, and then we'll go on. I think we've established that the Constitution, the highest law, does, in fact, establish and guarantee a right to privacy for an individual citizen of their persons, their property, their house, and I would have to say, even the, obviously, the words that come out of their mouth, their conversations. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Secondly, we have established that that right to privacy is not absolute. There are times where information can be gotten, particularly if that person would be there's reason to believe that that person is involved in some kind of breaking of law or whatever. Would that also be a true statement?
Yes, there's a tension between the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights and Article 1, Section 5, which talks about the Senate and the House keeping a journal, but withholding secret information. There's a tension between those two rights.
Okay, and that's what we're seeing working not now, except I would say we're out of balance here right now. But
yes.
going on the third point, there is a right, and it's appropriate for government entities, agencies, and so forth, and people in authority to, in fact, collect intelligence, data, information, when there is reason to believe that that information would, if not collected, would prevent the government from implementing their responsibilities of justice and or protecting the people. Would that be a good way of saying it?
Yes. The CIA, basically, when their technology for espionage, they're basically about 5 years ahead of what is known in the public. So
wow.
They're always ahead of the rest of us. And every time, if I said right now to you, I want to learn how to build a bomb, I want to be a terrorist. Those two sentences right now have just been collected by the
mm-hmm.
United States federal government, and they will enter into a computer database, and they will compare those statements with my actions or how many times I say it. If I say, I want to join ISIS, just like that,
mm-hmm.
that, or if I said the words assassinate, those key words just by themselves get recorded, what I just said, by the government in a giant computer database, either in Utah or Nevada or in Washington, Virginia.
All right, David, let me ask you. You use that as an example. We've all understood that that's probably what's happening. Is that appropriate?
That's the big fight. Because what you, in effect, do is that if you say yes to that, you're basically treating every American citizen as a suspect,
mm-hmm.
and that's what a police state does. Now, the other side saying, look, what they're, even though they just recorded everything David New said on the radio, still, it's not going into an individual's hand within the government. It's being collected in a database, and it won't pop up for some reason, unless I actually do something, I suppose. I'm not sure what the exact legal criteria that they're using, because that itself is classified. But nevertheless, they're saying that a person doesn't actually hear what I just said. A computer takes it down, what I just said.
But David, let me jump in here, if I may. When you go to that Fourth Amendment and it talks about the warrants, they must have a warrant in order to conduct surveillance. Do they not? Does the government?
No.
They don't?
No. The Constitution says yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But one of the things that the government does that I said at the last break is a lot of times it will conduct all kinds of illegal searches and seizures without warrants in complete violation of the law, but never use it in a prosecution. They will not use it in a court of law. They will use it just to get the information, but they won't use it to prosecute somebody. They did that in World War II. They do that. It's just one of the. But they shouldn't be doing that,
right.
And that's the danger.
Why do they want the information? I mean,
because
getting back to this police state situation. I mean,
yeah,
they have
does.
No right to have that information.
That's right, but they do it because there are a lot of people who want to hurt the United States. There's a lot of people that want to hurt Gary Dull and David New. If they had their choice, they'd love to blow us up. And so, you know, their motives are not sinister. They're not evil. They're trying to protect us from the people who do want to do harm. But there is a balancing act, and there's a lot of tension, and it goes back and forth as to which side they tend to favor. And, of course, 9/11 with this Patriot Act, and I don't know why they call it the Patriot Act, because it's anything but that. That there are parts of it that are good, but there are parts of it like NSLs, national security letters, which are real bad.
And you know, David, it almost goes back to something, excuse me, Sam, I just want to, you know, I don't mean to interrupt, but, you know, George Washington said in 1790, and I quote, "The Constitution of the United States and the laws made under it must mark the line of my official conduct."
That's right.
And that is being violated almost every day by many in our government, Sam.
Yes.
Gary, it is. I think it's what we're talking about here. But the guiding lines behind it, David knew, I could say that we're talking here about data, how much data. We're referring here to the fact that too much data is being collected. being housed, being stored in these gigantic, and there are gigantic, massive databases, computers across this country, gigantic ones. Historically, David, I know from this being in office before that a guiding line used to be what was between what was called aggregated data and disaggregated data. Now, what that simply means in simple terms is that data on a broad spectrum was often able to be collected as long as you weren't able to take it down to the actual person who said it. And that applies right now in educational policy. That includes medical information that's out there right now. It's basically that same way. You can collect aggregate, which you can find studies and trends and that kinds of thing. But historically, always been prevented from taking it down to the individual so that you could not use that against an individual and violate this right. I see that as an issue underhand right now because they are tracking it to the individual. They know what phone it's coming from. They know what TV it's coming from. Talk to me a little bit about that policy there, and if that were to be applied, would that help not solve some of the problem in the debate that we're in?
Well, that's part of the issue is, like, for example, what I just said, if I said, I want you to teach me how to build a bomb, that statement goes into a database, a mega database, and it's not supposed to be able to track it to me individually, but it can be, and that's part of the problem. But spying mm-hmm. and espionage is as old as the creation itself. In the Bible, Joshua and Caleb were spies. They were sent to spy out the land. They came back with good report. The other 10 came back with a bad report. And, of course, you know the fiasco that happened as a result of that. The great Chinese general Sun Ti, 500 B.C., said the spies are the eyes of the army. Which way should the army go? How should the army fight? It's your spies that tell you what's going to happen or what's not going to happen. And, of course, the Enigma machine of World War II, where we knew the health of Hitler by the day, that was so vital to winning the war.
You know, we have just received information that there is now software that can take audio speech, transcribe it, and also analyze it for word use and contexts. And this is found via GPS tags on the calls coming through the internet. And, you know, Sam, this really concerns me, and I think that we need to communicate this to our people, that whatever you say, somebody can pick it up and analyze it and use it against you.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And David New, I want to go to you on this because, see, as I said earlier, information or knowledge is power. Does unlimited knowledge, this broad, gigantic vats of knowledge, does it not become potentially dictatorial power? Are we already there? Have we already crossed the line and gone too far?
There's a real danger because none of the presidential candidates want to withdraw from it. As soon as they get in office, they're all gung-ho for it. There doesn't seem to be too many breaks on it. Like the great Lord Acton said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we have already many of the characteristics of a police state, and we're going in that direction. Government, the bigger government gets, the smaller you and I become.
And David, a lot of people don't know, but just a few days before Barack Obama left office.
Yes.
He expanded the power, the spying power of the American intelligence agencies, and I'm reading from an article. Under new rules, the NSA can now share raw bulk data consisting of private communications with 16 other intelligence agencies, including the FBI and the DHS, Homeland Security. The Obama administration has sought to downplay the significant dangers of the new rules. However, General Counsel to Clapper, an intelligence individual there with under Obama, he said, this is not expanding the substantive ability of law enforcement to get access to signal intelligence. It's simply widening the aperture for a larger number of analysts who will be bound by the existing rules. And I'm saying, ha ha, because I'm not sure what the existing rules are. David, what Obama did is he took these vast amounts of data, aggregate data we're talking about, opened it up, Literally, the numbers are over 5,000 individuals around the world now have access to this data, many of them government. And David, I suspect that some of these individuals are part of what's causing a problem for the Trump administration and getting access to information that they never should have had a right to begin with. Do you think so?
Absolutely.
Good, Sam.
So let's go on here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back and talk and conclude the program by picking up on what we just talked about there a little bit. And we're going to pick up on the theme, the idea that Benjamin Franklin told the lady in Philadelphia after the Constitution was passed. We've now given you a republic if you can keep it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a challenge before us. Can we keep the privacy and protections that we have according to the Constitution?
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the Founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
March 9th, 1862. The historic Civil War battle took place between the Confederate iron-plated ship Merrimack, which had just destroyed two Union boats, and the Union's ironclad vessel, the Monitor, designed by Swedish immigrant John Ericsson. After 4 hours of bombardment, with cannonballs deflecting off their decks, the Confederate ship was crippled and withdrew to Virginia. Naval warfare was forever changed. When John Ericsson was offered payment for designing the Monitor, he replied, "Nothing could induce me to accept any remuneration. It is my contribution to the glorious triumph which freed 4 million bondsmen."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, and you're listening to 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty and things that matter, right here in the Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we go into this final segment now, I just would like to remind you, you can pick up the program, this program in archive form, as well as all of our programs of Stand in the Gap Today, by going to StandInTheGapRadio.com. And I would strongly encourage you, if you are enjoying this program, if you look forward to hearing this program daily, either live or delayed, would you let us know? We need to hear from you. We really do. Let us know. Even just drop us a note and just say, I'm listening and I like what I'm hearing, or I'm listening and I don't like what I'm hearing. Let us know that too, if that's the case. But we need to hear from you. You can give us questions. Pose those to those. We'll try and address things on this program that are of significance, like this one today we're dealing with this matter of privacy. So please do that. StandInTheGapRadio.com. Well, Dave and Gary, we've covered a big topic. It's impossible to deal with it in its completeness in an hour of time. But we have hit some very, very critical things, and we have summed it up by saying governmental power or information is power, and information in the wrong hands can become dictatorial power. David, you used the word police state. Many folks out there looking at what's being done, calling it George Orwell's 1984. We've never been in a time when our lives could be monitored so completely. And 24 hours a day, our travel by our phones, we can be tracked in our travel. And in fact, that is what is happening. That is significant. David, I know many young people I talk with say, well, you know, we know that, but, you know, at the end of the day, does it really make any difference? David New, does it make a difference?
It makes an enormous difference, and what's bad about it is the more complacent we become, the more dangerous the situation becomes. And just think what the government is doing today. Think what the government will be doing 100 years from now, should the Lord tarry. And that's the danger. This kind of behavior leads to greater and greater intrusion. We're on a very dangerous path in this country, and I understand our enemies are real. But I'll tell you, there's nothing worse, there's nothing more dangerous than not just fearing terrorists, but fearing your local police officer. Every person that you deal with from the government becomes a threat. That is real terrorism.
Well, unfortunately, we have a lot of history to prove that very thing. And yes. And that's what Franklin, I think, was talking about years ago. We've given you a republic, freedom, self-government. However, can you keep it? Gary, I know that here in Pennsylvania, William Penn made a comment that this holy experiment of self-government in a republic, he said, was only possible that you could continue it would be if people governed themselves, limited, restrained their actions and their choices according to the Ten Commandments. Gary, put into this mix, as far as we're now addressing a solution, the moral solution to fixing this problem. Then I want to go back to you, Dave, and talk about the constitutional solution, perhaps, of what we have to do.
Well, you know, Sam, I think that what we have found today in the United States of America, on almost every level, is the idea that we've put off the concept of truth and morality. You talk about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments really become a guideline for citizens to keep and to obey. And, you know, if the Ten Commandments are kept, you understand what I'm saying, if they're used as a guideline, because none of us can keep them perfectly, but you understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
If we keep the concept of the Ten Commandments before us, then that is going to lead to truth and morality in action. But we have put the things like the Ten Commandments completely out of the picture in so many places in America today, in American life. And so when you put God's law out of the picture, then immorality, antinomianism just continues to grow. And I really think that that's where we are today. And it's sad. And my question is, what must Americans do to protect themselves and to get back to this truth? we've really got a challenge ahead of us that we've got to accept and follow through with, Sam.
Well, Gary, we do, and that's why I was asking you for that moral component, because it does it not. It really comes down to understanding that everything that we have, both those citizens and those in office, if they're not restrained by a higher moral law, well, frankly, why not use every disposable tool for your advantage? And literally, I think that's what we were witnessing big time under the Obama administration, particularly as he, when he went out, he opened up the doors of all of this information for these people, unqualified, all across the spectrum of government. 16 agencies now having access to this aggregate data. Gary, I can't but believe that many in those agencies have no fear of God, no restraint according to the Ten Commandments. And so what are they going to do with it? Exactly what we're seeing happening, I think, under this administration. They're trying to bring it down and to crucify people for things that have not done, perhaps. David, we're going to run
and
out
remember,
of time
here. Let me just throw this quickly. But here's the point, that when God's truth is forgotten, Sam, or when it's forsaken, then moral restraints fall. And that's what we're seeing today.
There you go. It's tied together. David New, go to you now from a constitutional legal perspective. There's only so much that legal challenges can do. What's needed from a civil government structural perspective here to address these overreaches that we're seeing, obviously, coming at the hands of government?
The problem with this whole area is that the technology is moving so fast that the law cannot keep up with it in terms of how to apply it legally. It's
Good
a
point.
Very difficult situation. You've got a Bill of Rights that were written with 462 words in it in 1789, and it didn't get ratified till 1791, and you're taking those 462 words and trying to apply them in the 21st century, and it really is very difficult. We do need to have some sort of an update, not of the Constitution per se, because it's very, very difficult for the law to keep up with what's going on. They are so far ahead of us, they're like on the average 5 years at least ahead of us in the technology. It's a difficult topic.
It is, David, but don't you agree that the moral biblical principle
undergirding
this does not change? It needs to be adapted to where we are, applied to where we are, but not changed. The principle remains the same. The principle of privacy is still the same.
Spiritual goodness, spiritual righteousness is perhaps the best key to keep abuse of power in check. The faith that an American has in God could be and is really the best check in against abuse of power. There's no question that what Pastor Dole said is correct.
There we go. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, that's the bottom line. Without God, without moral restraint based on biblical law, there is no solution to the problems that we have. There is no check and balance on government, and there's no check and balance on the individual. But with that, that is how we can retain a republic and keep what God has given us. David, we're about to run out of time here. We're closing the program with prayer. We have a lot to pray about on this topic today. Would you close us today on Stand in the Gap today in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Dear Father, in Jesus' name, thy word has said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Dear Father, we pray that we will come back in the name of Jesus to the fundamental principles of goodness and Christ's likeness in this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. David and Gary, thanks for being on the program today. A lot of information. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow, 23 hours from now. Our special guest will be IQ Arasuli. Special guest, we're going to cover world events. You're going to not want to miss it.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL, King of Front.